DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Anders Logic.
I'm so balls deep in Binding of Isaac right now. Binding of Isaac. It's time for golf with friends.
Flopsy.
You didn't want to talk about we need to go deeper?
Your host, Robert Digital.
It's very large.
And Smoochie.
As a black male, it is not safe for me to play Pokemon Go.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
I'm Emilio.
This is Chi.
And joining us is Admiral Beef. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
We all had regular names, and then fucking he gets his cool name. Okay. I'm Ender's Logic, and I've got a gun. It's really cool.
Smoochy. all right, wait, Bobby, where's the Digiman?
I don't know. I'm getting too old for nicknames here. I think I'm just going to start going by Bobby online.
You
know,
I am Robert Digital.
I was thinking about this the other day.
Say it on my face. I'm sorry. Like, that's what I'm waiting on.
One shot, she's crazy woman. Chi, would you say, I was thinking about this the other day, and so would you say that Chi and Smoochie are two different people, or like are even slightly different?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I would say Smoochie is a crowd pleaser. She tries to please everybody.
That's kind of her job.
She has an evil twin sister, Raunchy. Like early in recording, I would put on like red lipstick and then I'd just become foul. Mm. And then the real Chi is somewhere in between Smoochie and Raunchy. Mm. So that's
about raunchy it. When you before you left the apartment.
Let's not talk about that.
Admiral Beef, would you say that Admiral Beef and Brian are different?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Admiral Beef is very much in your face, stupid, hard charging, and I'm much more reserved.
Gotcha. So, yeah. Bobby, is there a difference between Digi and Bobby?
No, I try to keep them the same. I don't know. I try not to live double lives. Just find it easier.
I'd like to say that I think I'm the same, but I don't know. I guess you guys
would be
the
same. I think you're the same. For me, I don't know. I guess it depends on my mood.
Hmm. All right. Well, before we get into it, let's give a shout out to some new Patreons here, Atrocious and Marco.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
In 3 months or 4 months, you might hear from us. No, I'm kidding. new t-shirt codes are going out like anytime now, probably before this goes out. For all the $10 tier guys, and for the $5 people that haven't got their shirts, them too. And also, we have a new shop. We're going with a new company now. Basically, you can get our shit on anything now. So you can get a tattoo of it. No, but you could get a coffee mug. You can get a phone case. You can get hoodie, whatever it is. And we have our 3 new designs up, and they were the top 3 winners of our T-shirt contest. Thanks for participating. We got a XCOM inspired one. We have a PUBG inspired one with my face on it, which isn't weird that you have my face on your chest. I'm just saying. And then we have our DL Gaming. We have DL Gaming with our little emojis, and Chad was obviously missing, and then they were talking about it in the.
You didn't put a tombstone instead or something? Because there's definitely an empty space there.
Yeah, maybe we could do like a little ghost chat or something. I don't know.
So if you want to check out the new stuff, go to, by the time this is up, if you go to our website, dlgaming.net, you can click on the link for the merch. What does it say? What's the wording there? Anyway, is it like DL Gaming merch or something?
On the right side under the support us section, it'll say DLG merchandise. Just click on that link. It's got a picture of shirts, and that'll take you to our new shop.
But so, if you're a Patreon member, don't buy anything until I send out codes.
Yeah, because we'll eventually get those codes out, and we'll get one free t-shirt with those vouchers. Yep. But in the meantime, you can buy other items. I mean, we even have baby onesies.
I am in fact going to purchase a couple onesies. I'm going to give them to, because my sister and my boyfriend's sister both had little baby girls within a couple weeks of each other, and so I'm going to be one of the first to jump on the onesie bandwagon.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gee, you don't have to buy them. I know a guy.
I think I know him too.
Yeah, so we had the voting on our website, and you know, we decided, let's just release bunch of new designs at one
three,
time.
The top three, I think we were with.
So let's see which one actually did win, though. PUBG's at 23%, but
the XCOM is at 22%.
And then the Shield is at 13%.
The 1% here made a difference.
Yep. Yeah, so the PUBG is the official winner, but we do have all three of the designs up there. Very cool. All right. So moving on the radar. So let's check out some games that are new that we are interested in playing. Emilio, what's your game?
I chose Battle Chasers Night War. This is a turn-based RPG, and it has randomly generated dungeons. The dungeoneering part of the game is actually kind of like action-oriented. It's like you're trying to actively avoid traps and stuff. But once you fight, it goes into like a Final Fantasy type.
That's fun.
I love the random part of it, but the big seller for me is, if you were as balls deep into comic books as I was, Battle Chasers was a small title that would put... They'd put out a title like every like fucking 3 months. The artist was one of my favorite artists of all time, Joe Mad, and they just couldn't get this guy to work because he would always be playing video games. That's what... Marvel would bring him on, and he would never deliver, and then DC bought him. So eventually he made his own comic, and still... And it was all because... From what I heard... He was just addicted to video games. So now it looks like he made his own video game. I don't know if it'll be good because he probably doesn't have a very good work ethic for that either. But art style, I mean, you can't. Look at this shit.
This is amazing.
It's beautiful.
This excites me so much just looking at this game. Yeah. I love the fact that when you're moving around the map, it has dungeon crawling elements to it. So, you know, it's like merging Diablo with your classic JRPG.
Yep.
It's got a lot of anime shorts, it seems, or cutscenes. And then the turn-based combat, I mean, it's just merging two great types of RPGs into one. I would love to try out a game like this. Like, you're selling me on a game before I even get to my game. That's awesome.
I might win. If you don't know what we're doing, we're presenting games and trying to win each other over with the game.
I think Admiral Beef should be the sole decider. And,
I think this episode, too.
Yeah.
The price is a little high, but, man, that style.
That's $26.99.
That style is amazing. Okay.
Let's see if you can save 10% if you pre-order.
Yeah. So let me see if I can sway you my way. My game is called Fall of Light. It's a story-driven dungeon crawler set within a world consumed by darkness, where an old warrior takes his daughter to see the last remnants of sunlight. This game, it is a single-player action-adventure hack and slash. It is very much a Dark Souls meets Ico. You actually do... trail around with your daughter. You have to protect her, keep her safe. The combat is very versatile. There's over 20 different battle stances and 10 different weapon classes you can choose from. So it's basically like maneuvering through a platformy Dark Souls world, with lots of combat, but also elements of a heavy story involved.
What is that? Isometric, Bobby, or no? Is this?
I guess you could call it
pulled out third person, maybe.
Yeah, I would say it looks like Torchlight, and I'm sorry, I just
the
dropped
big
Torchlight.
Seller here
that
on graphics would be the lighting effects, because it is everything is dark, but your weapon is a light.
So, and then so is your daughter.
It's very literal.
Here, that is $13.49 on sale right now.
Hey Brian, are you getting glare?
A little bit, but
you
I can
move.
Oh, yeah, right. If you bring it
over,
it's a lot
closer to me. I don't bite.
I don't want to block Emilio's way to the bathroom.
That's true.
He's got jokes, folks.
All right, the game that I was very interested in this week. Oops, wrong one. Vaporum. So this is from the... was said to be very similar to Legend of Grimrock, which is a game that I enjoyed very, very much. It is a grid-based RPG game, and... I don't know.
Well, I mean, it looks like... I don't think a lot of people know what this is. Like grid-based? RPG. Yeah. It's hard to really... Until you play it. As soon as you play it for 1 second, you know exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it like the battlefield?
It's like turn-based tactical, but from a first-person perspective. So you move, you're on a grid. You can move every space, you know, like square spaces up, down, left, right, and you can turn in either direction, but it's from a first person perspective.
But also your entire squad is on one square.
Yeah.
You can't move your guys.
And you have a formation.
Around.
Well, at least in Grimrock, you had a formation.
What's a well-known grid-based game?
Legend of Grimrock. Well, yeah, there was one on the Nintendo called Sword and Serpents that I played a lot. Pretty sure that was the name of it. And that was like my first introduction to it. But it tries to mimic, well, I guess every RPG game tries to mimic Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah. So I don't know. This just looks, I thought it was from the same developer as those guys, but apparently not. It's going for $17.99 right now on sale, $20.
Steampunk version of Legend of Grimrock, it looks like.
Yeah, it's got some steampunk.
Chi, how much was your game?
My game, I believe, was $13.49. Yeah, $13.49 after a small discount.
Hey, we got a numbers guy.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
$17.99.
Brian, it's your choice. Who wins the ultimate clash of games?
I'm going to go with the Battle Chasers.
Yeah.
It looks cool. The style looks cool. I like RPGs. I'm not going to vote for the Vaporum. I'm not a big fan of the grid-based, tactical, type stuff. And then Fall of Light looks okay. The price is right for me. So, yeah, it looks neat.
Yep. But, for half the price, Fall of Light, for double the price.
Yeah. Yep.
Amelia wins.
One other game I wanted to mention, they've been advertising this a lot on Steam, but Hob.
Yes.
And Hob apparently is a big deal. It's from the makers of
Torchlight 1 and 2.
Yeah, Torchlight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You can see the art style right away.
But here's the thing. It's nothing like Torchlight 1 and 2. When I played Torchlight, it's a lot more like Diablo. But this one is meant to be reminiscent of Legend of Zelda. It's definitely a platformer. Recommended you use a controller.
It's a good-looking game.
Looks really good. So think of very Zelda inspired. That's exactly what it looks like. Really good cel-shaded, maybe.
It's been so long, I think we've all kind of forgot about Torchlight, but that was one of the most popular, aside from Diablo 3, that was one of the most popular dungeon crawlers that I can remember.
And my favorite, if I were to rank them, I would say, what's the one that Chad and I have been playing? The one, Grim Dawn is number one. Mm-hmm. Number two would be the one you were just talking about, Torchlight 1, and then third would be probably Diablo 3.
Yeah, Path of Exile I know is a popular one as well.
I never really got hooked on it.
Really, Path of Exile?
Yeah,
that was the one that we were playing. Time.
That was like
how
one
much
of our,
time did you?
That might have been our very first
in?
Episode was when we were playing Path of Exile.
Yeah, a ton, like 15
oh
hours
really?
Hours.
Yeah. Oh, because I only put about 2 hours. I only put about 2 hours in it, and I do plan to return to Path of Exile.
So, Admiral Beef, how did you find out about the podcast?
I found you guys through Google. I was Googling for PC gaming podcasts.
Were we near the top?
Yeah, there was you guys and then some other British podcast. Oh. And I listened to 5 minutes of them and they were junk. So I started listening to you guys. And then I was traveling internationally for work a lot last year. So I downloaded weeks of episodes.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I took it on the plane and everything. And it was great. Yeah,
you didn't start from the beginning, did you?
No, in fact, there's probably a lot of history and stuff that I've missed out on. So I'm
good.
Been listening for
you didn't miss much.
Okay,
so beginning, it's like streaming pure dog shit into your mouth. It's so bad.
You probably started listening right before I joined the podcast. If it's been a year and a half, or was I already
was
a part of it?
September, October. So I think you were on, and then Chad, you guys. Yeah, it was pretty much this.
Yeah, it was definitely BC before Chad. It's going to be our new.
I like that. Before Chad, there's only, three months of episodes?
Chad came in maybe...
3 months, right? 3-4 months?
January. We started in November.
Dude, I don't even know my months, dude.
We started in November, and Chad came in February. So, yeah, it was 3 months, 3-4 months into it.
And what games do you play the most?
A lot of PUBG, a lot of World of Warcraft, which I'm ashamed to say, a little bit of Overwatch and Rocket League. And that's
nice.
I listen to your podcast and I hear you guys talk about games and I hear stuff that I never would have sought out or heard of on my own. So it's really cool. That,
like Cuphead.
Yeah. For like exactly that. Yeah. Like I'm going to be buying that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And also, I just want to give a shout out to the Discord, because I joined the Discord when I kind of got settled in my new place. And I was playing and looking for people to play PUBG with, because my friends just don't play first-person games. And met a lot of great people.
You actually met them in person, some of them.
Yeah, yeah. And still play with them. And they're great, great folks.
Cool, man.
No, it's great having you here. I love it when we invite guests onto the show. And especially for any locals, we're all locals of San Diego. And there are still some people, some names on the Discord that I look forward to meeting in person as well. So it's glad. I'm happy to have you here, Emerald Booth. Thank you for coming out and joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Sweet. I'm glad you paid those $200 to be on the podcast.
He's joking. He's joking. That's a reference to our Patreon tier.
So speaking of Cuphead, we brought that up earlier, but we've all had a chance to play Cuphead now to some degree, right? So that was a game that I was excited for right off the bat. I think everyone takes one look at that and is like, wow, that's an amazing art style. But, you know, does it deliver past that? I don't know. Emilio, what do you think?
I was so glad that this was a good game, because the art style was enough for the money, even though you bought it. It was enough. The art style was enough for Bobby's money.
Well, it was $20, too, is how much this game is going for, which is... I don't know. To me, at $20 is like a sizable amount for a video game. Like, that's something where I'm not just going to like throw it out, you know, just for whatever.
I wouldn't. I definitely would have bought it if Bobby hadn't. I think Beef put it the best way. The screenshots do not do this game justice. And even when you watch the video, there's something about when you're watching. There's like this granular thing, almost like it's playing on this old, it almost like a record player. And you think at the beginning, well, this is going to get old quick. Like, that's what I thought. And then, I don't know, I'm at least 2 hours in and it's not getting old at all. I just have to turn down the music a little bit because it's a little in your face. But besides that, I mean, it's really, really good. I'm getting a little bit of slowdown, and that was going to be my one critique, but Bobby's getting none. So I'm thinking it's something with my settings. I guess VSync is probably enabled automatically, and you always have to turn that off. Why do you have to turn that off, Bobby? If you have G-Sync, is that why?
Yeah, you got a G-Sync monitor. Okay. And a lot of times you don't need it on just to begin with. But
it will interrupt. Like, it'll make your game worse if you have it on.
Oh, especially if you have G-Sync. Yeah, that's terrible. Okay. And that's probably the reason you're having trouble. And I'm a little disappointed that so many games are turning that on by default. Now, this is the second time you've run into that problem.
Yeah. So that's later on, I guess I'll talk about that. Marvel vs. Capcom was having the same issue, so I don't know. Back to this game. So it's a shooter. It's a platformer, but it's mostly a shooter. You're just shooting tons of stuff. You're dodging bullets like crazy. But more than half the game is boss fights.
Yeah, it kind of flips it, because a lot of these platformers, what they do is they have level, 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 boss fight, level, 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 boss fight. This game is like boss, 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 level, level, boss, 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 level. It's the majority of it is boss fights.
Mm-hmm. And the bosses are so interesting. I mean, it's super weird. Just like this animation style was back in the day. I don't know why it was so weird back then, but... this holds up to that. Like, the faces and the animations and it's fucking awesome. It's really, really cool. I love this game. Overwhelmingly positive. 4,000 people. What do you guys think?
I love this game. And I knew one of the selling points for me was how difficult this game was going to be. And it's actually very popular in Twitch right now too. I think it was like number 3 or number 4 when I was just browsing through popular games. And with this, it's one of those games, and just from being able to experience it, just a couple different stages, it's nice because you get through the stage and then the world opens up like in Super Mario, and then you get to walk past and go on to the next stage. So it's not only just the artwork, but controls and everything else, very classic platformer appeal. I will definitely be picking up this game too, so thank you, Bobby, for buying it. I always thought it looked beautiful, but now I'm convinced after trying it out that it's going to be worth playing, you know, from beginning to end. This is one of those platform games that, you know, it's hard to look at a platform game and say, oh, I'm going to pick this and actually beat the game. For me lately, it's more like, okay, I'll try it out. And it's like, okay, it's like every other platformer I've played. Cause I mean, that was like the introduction of video games to me. It's all platform games.
Yeah, most of us,
so
I think.
Nothing has really offered anything that feels new enough that it's worth, you know, almost like playing through, you know, enduring the full experience of the game. So with this one, though, I am super excited. Can't wait to buy it immediately after this podcast recording, and or maybe even during it. Who knows? And then
she's on the phone a lot.
And then and I look forward to you actually experiencing more. One thing that was really neat is that you got to you guys did it, and I just played your characters. But tell me more about the power ups and the different guns and abilities that that go with the Cuphead and Mugface, or what's his name? Mughead?
Cuphead and Mugman.
Mugman. Yes. Okay.
I was really glad to see that when I got here, and Bobby was close to where I'm at, maybe like three levels below me or whatever, but he had a completely different setup than my setup. So he went strong. Wait, so Bobby, you had a bunch of the charms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which are passive abilities. But you can only equip one of them, right?
Yeah, and
so
that's
why
where
would
I was
you keep buying them,
because I thought I could equip all of them. I found out after I bought all of them. So you can buy power ups for just your basic attack, your special attack, and then also like your jump ability or something. The charms just kind of does different things. One of them empowers your jump ability. One gives your dash invincibility. So it powers up different things. But yeah, I thought I could just get all those and equip them all, and it turns out you can only equip one per area.
And that's then you have two fire modes. And you can switch between two different kinds of guns. You have to buy those. You could equip those. And then you kind of have like this super system where you have five cards that you can get. And if you use one of the cards, you shoot something based on the gun that you have. But if you get all five cards, then you do this like super, like think of something like from,
yeah, it's like a Marvel vs. Capcom, you know, where like, you build up your super ability.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's awesome.
You know, this game, I don't know how you guys felt about it, but this game gave me the same feeling as Super Meat Boy. I don't know, maybe I just compare all good platformers to Super Meat Boy, but I felt like you had to, if you die in the level, you start all the way back at the beginning. So the idea is that you learn the level, you learn the boss, like, okay, during phase two, they're going to do this type of attack, and I need to do this to counter it. Like, you don't go into a level and beat it on the first try. That's just not going to happen, because you have to learn which each...
intended.
Yeah, it's not intended to be like that. So it is a very difficult game. Like, it's pass or fail, each of these levels.
Yeah. So when Emerald Beef and I played, we actually didn't beat any levels, so we're going to have to do some training and...
Well, I think two players are much
come
more
back
difficult.
At it.
Yeah, two players is much more difficult, because they don't make the game more difficult. There's not more bad guys because you're playing two.
Yeah, they don't up the health. Like, a lot of games will up the health of enemies or provide more enemies if you go to two-player mode. This one doesn't.
Yeah.
It's tough enough as it is.
Because this entire game is about tracking everything that's going on and what's a threat and what isn't. And having a teammate there is just adding more things that you need to track. Let's see, what else is there?
Are you saying you can't get carried by somebody in this game?
You cannot get carried.
It's not carry head?
No.
We'll see about that. I will find me a carry.
Beef, I think you walked in, you sat down, you're like, well, I'm buying this.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah, like you said, I would not probably buy this without seeing somebody play it. Because I think I saw somebody playing it on Steam, because it's on the bestseller. And just seeing the animation effects, the style is amazingly good. Like, but with the amount of stuff that's going on in this, like, I want to put my headphones on and sit in front of my own monitor and play it, like, and really dig into it, because there's a lot going on.
It's definitely a challenge. Yeah.
But just, it's beautiful.
Oh, but in that exact same vein, every level when you go in, you can put it's default on normal or whatever, but you could put it on simple, and it gets a lot easier.
Simple's my speed.
Yeah, and so I think if I was going to play with Sam, I'd probably put it on simple. But it's nice that it has that option. takes away a lot of the bullet hell kind of thing.
Yeah. And one thing, it's like there's so much going on the screen, but you can really appreciate the little intricacies about it. I love the mean mugs that these Cupheads have when they're shooting. Like when you're idle, like they're smiley, they're happy. Is dappy a word? What does dappy mean? But they look dappy, dapper. Okay. And then when they're shooting, they get like really mean all of a sudden. They're like smoochy to raunchy. No, it's like, I really like it. Can't wait to explore more.
Dappy. Dappy.
That's a thing, right?
Yeah, sure. I like it. Last thing, my closing words on this is I'm famous for saying that I don't like platformers on this podcast. I love this game. If there's nothing more to be.
Well, there's just such a large number of platformers out there, and they all kind of do the same thing. You know, they're just basic platformers, but they have some sort of visual aesthetic to them that makes them special. And this one looked like it could be the same thing, but there's a lot more to it than just the visuals, even though that's a big part of it. And so this came out on the 29th for a PC, but it came out much earlier for consoles, didn't it?
I wasn't tracking that.
That's what I had. Let me look it up. Console release for Cuphead. Because I'm pretty sure it came out. It was delayed for PC.
December 29th.
Yeah.
I would say it was worth it. I mean, it's playing great.
Yeah. I have had no problems with it. And I assume that, yeah, I'm okay with the game coming out later if that means that it's not, or that it's not going to have any issues.
Especially in this crowded field now where I think Steam is on an all-time record of releasing games this year, or having, and if you have shit wrong with your game on day one, that might be a wrap. You might have the best game ever.
Yep.
If you're not functioning correctly in the first week, they're going to shit on you, and that's it.
Have you, like, and I normally don't click, because so many different games are released, I normally don't click on new releases by, like, release date, because it just shows you everything that comes out. There's so much crap.
I was there today. There was a game
released
tomorrow.
Poopy Head or something like that. Or, like,
there's
Poopy Head Trials. And I'm just like, what the hell is this?
Well,
you know?
It's Poopy Head.
Yeah.
Hey, are we going to talk about Divinity Original Sin 2?
Awesome. I'm not going to lead this one, but I want to see what you guys want to say about it.
Well, I was actually going to ask, will you guys convince me that I should sit down and play this game? Because everybody I know plays it and says it's good, but I've never played it. So.
Absolutely.
Oh, you still haven't?
Or the first one, yeah. And I have it. I have the first one in my Steam library, but I've never played it.
After playing this one, I couldn't go back to the first one. I think it's...
But the first one is so good... Should you start with
the first one?
Is you'll never get off of it.
Yeah, you'll just play Divinity 2.
Just start the second one. You don't need to know any story or anything like that. You can totally jump in right at...
And also, it was nice knowing you.
Definitely one of those things. It's like earlier you mentioned you like to put your headphones on, just sit in your monitor, really allow yourself to be focused in on the game. This is one of those games where, you're right. Nice knowing you. You're going to be fully immersed because you need full immersion in order to really, of course, dive into the lore, dive into just character creation alone, learning from your mistakes and going, oh my gosh, I want to relive this. And me playing multiple saves of this game, I see the immediate difference between playing with origin characters versus custom characters and getting more out of every single playthrough, even though I'm doing the same exact area. So I do love this game for that. It's not as long as people are saying as the first game, but reliving the game and replaying the game makes it longer.
And people are going to just mod the shit out of this too.
I've already done that too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But the reason we put it on here is because Mini Del Macho, thank you so much for putting a little level together for us. I did not know how much, when I asked you to do that, I didn't know how much I was asking you to do, basically. The tools aren't really that fleshed out, and he had to download mods, which is easy, for the creation of, what is that? Is it called Arena, Bobby?
Game Master mode? Yeah.
So basically it's D&D. So we started the game, and it started just like a game of D&D. You know, it was like, so you guys are traveling down a road, and somebody
conscripted you.
Somebody cunts you? conscripted you to do this job or whatever. Oh, and you're attacked by bandits. And we're like, oh, okay. And then you're in that scene and you work your way out of that scene or whatever. It was his first time. It was our first time. It was awkward, you know, maybe he shot his
getting
little too
cunted
early.
First, yeah. Right off the bat, yeah. It was awkward. I'm sorry.
The enemies were way too hard for us, but we worked through it little by little, and he ended up putting in like 12 hours building this 15-minute little game for us.
15 minutes?
It had like three different scenes, and then he didn't work it out. He didn't know what was going on the Game Master side until we got to the last scene. And so then we finished the last scene and then worked our way backwards through the... But he did a really good job with the story and the pacing. I thought it was really good. But definitely needs a lot of work. He's in stream right now.
Yeah.
Would you say that it needs a ton of work, Mini?
I think one of the things that he was saying...
Buggy.
So he said it's buggy. But when we were doing it, he was mentioning that you could only have one fight per instance. So we would travel to one area. It would be inside like a bar or a tavern, and there could only be one encounter that we could have there. If we wanted another encounter, we had to travel to a whole nother scene. So it was a little more limiting than originally expected.
Yeah, and plus he has to build each one of those scenes, but from scratch. There's no pre-setup. Well, there is now, but there wasn't at the time. People have put mods in where you could put in pre-set up scenes, but he was like, this chair goes here and this chair goes here and there's a painting here. And then now there's going to be a fight and then the fight's over and then, okay.
You know what
mountains.
Would be hilarious? If he set up everything and all you did during his game mode was just run around and loot everything. Like, just rip the paintings down from the wall and just steal everything, pickpocket everything.
Well, I wonder if people are
and not cost
do.
Any AP doing that.
I'm wondering if people are eventually going to make like, okay, I'm going to make a bar and then you can download that mod and then you can use it in your level.
No, there is now.
Okay, people are already starting.
Yeah,
to do that.
That's the one that was called GMAPS, I believe, right, Mini? And yeah, but okay. he didn't use it for this for some reason. I don't know.
So we'll get into it. If I were in a D&D game, and I really wish I was. Like I remember trying to at least test out Game Master or the campaign with Mini. Could not get into the game mode itself. My whole computer would end up freezing, and I would have to like control. I mean, not my screen would end up freezing. I would have to control alt delete.
Right, and after you tried, he tried me, and then we had some freezes as well.
Uh-huh.
But eventually, we worked through it because you know we just kept trying.
You weren't kidding. It is very buggy right now.
Yep.
And I would spend my first two AP. Hiding in a barrel.
So this game sucks.
Then, like,
don't buy Divinity 2.
Shut up.
So anyway, stay away from Game Master for now. Let it get fleshed out. And it will. These guys love their games. So
if you don't want to get cunted right off the bat, don't do Game Master mode. Not yet.
Marvel versus Capcom Infinite. I purchased this for $60 on Steam. I played it for 1 hour, 55 minutes. I know that because you have to stay after 2 hours to get the return. I returned it. It is really fun to play. The actual matches are fun. I will give it that. But that's pretty much where the gameplay is great. Everywhere else is kind of lacking. First of all, the graphics aren't... It's not about the graphics. Graphics are great. The art style that they chose is just weird. It looks like they were trying to go with cartoon and realism at the same time, and they ended up with this thing in the middle that doesn't really play well. The amount of characters you can have is kind of limited. I think it's somewhere around 15 to 20. That doesn't sound limited, I know. But when you look at prior Marvel vs. Capcom games,
yeah.
52 was where Marvel vs. Capcom 2 ended up. 52 characters. So now when you're looking at this and it comes out with 20, you just kind of know that they're going to be nickel and diming you for the rest of them. But the number one reason that I got my return on it is because the massive, massive slowdown I was getting. And Bobby, I did check for the V-Sync on this one, and I did unselect it, and still I was getting the just... atrocious. And you can't have this kind of slowdown in a fighting game. Like, every single nanosecond matters in fighting games. And I just wasn't get it. I think it's mixed right now, Bobby. Is that right?
The reviews are mixed, yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't the only one. I don't think it's my hardware or anything like that. I mean, I have a 1080 Ti, but it's really a shame because I was ready for a fighting game. I have room for one in my life now, and this I wanted this one to be it, and it wasn't, unfortunately.
Do you have Tekken 7 on Steam?
I don't.
Okay, so like I was going to keep my mouth shut because I do not do fighting games anymore. Yeah. I did them when I was like 20 and,
yeah.
You know, I just don't have the Twitch reflexes anymore. But Tekken 7 actually plays really well on the PC and the graphic style is good, like, you know, the consoles. But hearing about slowdown on a fighting game, like, yeah, no way.
Is that the newest one, Tekken 7?
Yeah. It just came out on PC, like, I think a couple months ago.
Isn't Ryu in that one?
No, that's... Oh God! It's different. It's not Street Fighter. It's
Tekken has Ryu in it for sure. And Akuma.
You just went from Ryu to Ryu.
No, that's
because I'm trying to appeal to everybody.
I see.
I used to be into this shit back in the '90s and all the fighting games and all the different.
It's a good time for fighting games.
And it's fun, but I paid $59 for that, and it reminded me why I don't play fighting games anymore. I don't have the Twitch reflexes for that stuff.
That's how I was feeling when I was playing, was it Cuphead? I was just like, man, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I don't know if I'm playing this as well as I should be.
But I think everyone else is on the same level as you. I feel like a lot of the gamers in the newer generation of gaming, like, I feel people who kind of started gaming with, like, MapleStory or even after World of Warcraft, like, some of the newer gamers. And, like, platforming should be relatively new to them in general. Like, I can't think of the platform game around that genre of gaming that was really such a hit that everyone has it in their nostalgic library. Mm-hmm. I'm talking for people, like, in their early 20s or even coming out of teens, like, what recent platform game where everyone's like, oh my god, yeah, I played Battletoads versus
maybe
Double Dragon,
like Shovel Knight was maybe the last one that really
play
really.
Yeah, when I think about it, I can't think of any near modern day platformers that is worthy to exist in everybody's library. Like, there's no Super Mario of this new generation. Yeah. I feel like, if I'm wrong, please let me know.
Well, the SNES Classic and the NES Classic. I mean, there's a market for those retro platformers, but like Super Meat Boy, like Bobby brought it up. I've never played it, but I've seen the videos, and I don't need that kind of complexity in my life.
Yeah,
frustration.
Maybe Super Meat Boy is the platform.
I feel like last week or the week before, Sonic blew the fuck up, and then now nobody's talking about it anymore. But that Sonic Mania or the newest Sonic, right? Isn't that supposed to be a fantastic platformer?
Well, that's what happens when you sell to nostalgia.
Yeah, no, it's a really good game. Is what people are saying.
Yeah. I believe it. I love Sonic.
Hmm. Very quickly on Downward. Emu Killer bought it for me. But unfortunately, I had already played this off of Team Tom's account. And I reviewed it. And he didn't remember that I had. And not even that. I forgot the name of it. So I accepted the gift, which I shouldn't have because I already played this game. And so
it looks like a Mirror's Edge,
but I was yes, it's very, very parkour-esque, but it's no buildings. It's all like natural structures and ruins that you're jumping through. And even the bosses aren't really, you're not fighting them. You're just kind of parkouring around them, trying to fuck with the environment to fuck them up. There's a lot, like golems and stuff that you fight. It's a good game. Really good graphics for what you can get it for right now. It says $9.99, but I swear I saw it today for $6.99. It's a very pretty game. If you like parkour and you already burned through Mirror's Edge, go ahead and grab this because I know that I did a really shitty job of explaining it the first time, but that's basically what you're doing. It's more parkour even than Mirror's Edge because there's no melee that I know of.
I do have a question for you.
Sure.
Now, did you ever play Surf Maps?
No.
Okay, never mind.
Wait, is Surf Maps a mod for...
No, in old school Counter-Strike, for a lot of the like custom servers, surfing was the thing.
Yeah.
So surfing,
you basically...
It's bunny hopping mixed with jump. It's almost like the original gaming parkour. Mm. In Surf Maps, you would bunny hop and you would... You'd have to... and surfing, you actually slide your character, and using gravity and physics, you have to reposition your...
Are you fighting anybody? Or
no, you're not
player?
Fighting anyone, no.
Okay.
It's basically just people trying to make it to a certain point on the map.
So it's like a rocket jump level in Quake. People were making a rocket jump only.
Probably.
How quickly you can
and
get
then,
through it.
Yeah, and then surf maps, you basically, it's all maneuvering. But versus parkour games, you know, you get to set up different platforms, and there's like, I think even in a parkour game, it's not as fluid as surf. Like surf, you have to, it's almost like landing certain strikes on the keyboard at the perfect time in order to make it to the end. Mm-hmm. If you mess up, you have to start all the way back at the beginning.
Parkour is way more forgiving than...
Yeah. Yeah,
because you got to get everything perfect on those.
Yeah.
I know TF2 made the same things with like concussion bomb maps. Did you ever see those, Bobby? With the scout or the medic? Where people just made levels that would basically, how fast can you get through this with concussioning yourself?
Like rocket jumping?
Kind of, but with the concussion bomb.
Hmm.
You know which one I'm talking about? The one that just launches people?
Yeah.
And makes you dizzy? Yeah.
Yeah, I see parkour games can be a lot more elaborate than just surf maps too, because surf maps, it's just one stage, everything seen
no story,
ahead of
no,
me,
nothing,
new
yeah.
story, no monsters,
this definitely
no
has
beautiful
a story.
Graphics, so this is really
it's
cool.
It's very pretty for a $10 game, but I saw it for $7 today, so.
I imagine if you like surfing.
And it's very
like
positive
parkour.
On Steam.
Is there a high penalty for failure if you like miss a jump or
literally
something?
Literally just start where you jump, you fell okay. from, so it's not very frustrating at all.
Okay.
Hmm. It's more like a time penalty.
I called it a walking simulator, and it's the first time around, and I remember it because
that.
I was way off. It's definitely not. It's way more of a, like a Mirror's Edge or something like that.
Okay.
All right. What do we want to talk about next?
God, this is all me. Okay. Let me take a breath. ESL, they recently had a tournament that was called the Poppers Tournament. Basically, you make a deck out of all commons. Common decks, common cards.
Oh, Popper, like P-A-U-P-E-R.
Did I spell it wrong? I guessed it.
You didn't even spell it on the thing.
I think I tried to spell it out.
Popper, like poor.
Yeah, like poor.
Like the Prince
I thought
Popper.
You said Popper, like I'm thinking yeah, like popcorn pops.
Pauper. I don't know. Anyway, so anybody can make a deck like this because everybody has a bunch of commons all laying around. You put together your best commons deck. I just thought it was a really cool little thing that they did. It was, and they put it in the arena type format. So you either get seven wins or three losses, whichever happens first, and then you get your just rewards. But it's great because you're like, everybody has these commons, and you're just like trying to make the best deck of what you got, and everybody's trying to do the same thing. I thought it was really cool. Really great idea. Speaking of card games, Hand of the Gods is Smite's attempt at a card game.
Oh man.
It is a little more like shard bound because it has a board, but nowhere nearly as intricate as the shard bound levels.
Look at the trunk in that face.
He's looking at the elephant god, I forget his name. But anyway, the level that you're playing on is very, very simplistic. This is open beta, it's very early. But I got into the closed beta, and they haven't progressed much. I'm not sure. I think they went to open beta a little too early, honestly. There's 1440 support, but it looks terrible. My cards are blocking my characters on screen, and it's just not playing very well. I did play it quite a bit, though. I just they had these quests. I wanted to get all my quests done. I just kept playing, and I feel like the matchmaking. There's no matchmaking really. I'd stomp a guy. I'd get stomped. I'd stomp a guy. I'd get stomped. So it's all over the place. Definitely can't recommend even the free download for now.
Oh man!
But this
and
is
you
one.
Guys are, I would say, true Smite fanatics.
Yeah,
you
I mean,
really...
I want.
love the lore behind the gods, and and you like the MOBA.
Yep.
And then the card game itself is falling short. Would you put it above any other card games?
No.
Okay.
No, it's really bad right now.
Wow. They announced this like, a long how about that time card ago. Game Bobby was talking about, the Adult Swim card game? Would you put it below that even?
Well, I don't know. I haven't played Hand of the Gods, but I can't imagine anything being worse than
Bobby. Are you? What do you think when
animation throwdown? Like,
what do you think when I say that? What Chad said. You think that it's simple, but then later on, he was really into that game, Animation Throwdown. Like,
I'm sure.
Is there any way that you missed something?
I think there's different standards for mobile games and PC games. So if from a mobile gamer perspective, I could see where that game could get better, but I still have no interest in playing with. I played about an hour of it. If you can't, if it's still like pretty basic after an hour, I don't know. It was just such an obvious cash grab too that really turned me off.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I thought of when I saw that, when I heard Smite has a card game. I'm like, oh, cash. That's the.
I mean, every card game pretty much is, right? Yeah.
Well, Dota's got Smite, Artifact now.
Smite as a MOBA, you do have to pay into unlocking more heroes. Am I wrong?
No, yeah, you can buy. Smite had a really good plan. You could buy the hero pack. $30, you get every hero, even the new ones that come out. Like $30.
That goes on sale for $15 sometimes.
Or you could just play Dota 2 and get 150 heroes unlocked.
We have to play 25 games to unlock them, though.
It's like, we don't want your money. We want your time. Give us your life. You want to play this game? This is no game, child.
I wonder if Heroes of the Storm is going to come out with a card game. I mean, I guess that's pretty much Hearthstone, right?
Yep. Yeah, well, yeah. Hearthstone certainly makes money, for sure.
Yeah. When does Blizzard not make money?
Yeah.
What, case in point, what's one Blizzard game that they're trying to bury?
No, especially with the way that they've done all the chess and everything, they're making so much money.
I'm pretty sure the only people playing Heroes of the Storm are college kids, right? Because Heroes of the Dorm.
Bobby. No, they got an older crowd that plays.
I'm trying
that.
To shit on the game. I can't really.
I think it's doing better than Smite now. Smite and HOTS always go back and forth.
For number three, right?
Number three. I guess so. Dota.
League.
I thought you were talking about all games, but MOBAs, Dota, League. It's hard to tell, like, between Dota and League. But
I don't think it matters if it's number one in your heart. Wait, does Bobby have a heart?
Nah, well, he does, but it's a robot heart. And it's some sort of, it's called the Power Core. But anyway, speaking of Power Cores, I played Factorio, kind of. I tried playing this by myself for about 5 minutes, and I was lost. It's overwhelming, positive. This is a huge game. People love this game, and I didn't even know what the first thing to do. I was like, okay, there's trees over here. I don't know what to do. So many months later, after buying it, I just went into a game with Captain Gummy and his buddy Cricket Soldier. And I went into their game, which was not easy. There was a lot of... For a game that's this popular and been out for this long, me jumping into their game should have been a lot easier, but it wasn't. They had to modify some stuff. I had to download the right mods, which is understandable. I got the right mods, but even after that, we had several issues. But then, once I got in, I really couldn't start playing, but that's because they already were established. They already had, like what you're seeing on screen, just hundreds and hundreds of robots all doing these things automated. And you're basically building a city. If you don't know what this is, it's a top-down game, and you're crash-landed on a planet. And you're using technology to try to make a rocket to get off the planet because you crash-landed there. But all these machines that you're making are making the local creatures hate you. So they come and attack to fight the pollution that you're making, trying to make this rocket.
Sounds like the making of America.
It is pretty much exactly what that is.
But no, I'm kidding. It's awesome, though. It looks like a RTS resource manager, in a
sense.
That's
pretty much exactly what it is, yep. So it's like, okay, you mine some rocks, and then you make a kiln, and then you make some metal, and then you make an arm that feeds
and then you kill some locals,
and then it just goes on and on and on until you see this crazy maze like thing, and you can get run over and killed by your own equipment all the time. So that's some of the mods that we had downloaded.
Is that game over?
No, I think you just spawn again. It's one of these things where the structure is based on you. You're kind of making up your own story. There's the loose structure, but then after that, it's just all about how you want to play it. You can make it as hard as you want, as easy as you want, as many resources. You can make it really scarce. And you're talking about months and before you're going to fly off of this.
Oh, thing. Really?
Yeah. So when I went into their game, what really was impressive more than anything, first of all, their factories were impressive as shit. Like, you guys see all these arms and drones flying everywhere and all this stuff, and they're used to it. But as you walk into this factory for the first time, you're like really impressed. Like, there's all this stuff, and like, you guys built this stuff? And they're like, yeah, over the last few months. And what really stood out for me was how proud they were of what they had built. You know, they finally got this thing to work, and it's working, and it's making production, and they're getting all the cogs they want, because for some reason they needed thousands of cogs. So there's trains pulling up, and the train's getting filled with cogs, and the cogs are getting taken to the cog center, and it's just crazy. Somebody called this an OCD. As soon as I started playing this on Steam, people were messaging me on Steam. Three people, different ones. One said, that's an OCD nightmare. The second one said, it was nice knowing you. And the third one is, if you would like some mod lists and some tutorials, I can link them to you. So people are passionate about this game, and it is very, I think it's a lifestyle, not a game.
Honestly, I think I would like a game like this, only because I am very OCD, and then I do get caught up in resource management. I play Stardew mostly for resource management. Like, you know, how I'll like map out my farm, optimize my profit, manage my time. So I'm you know, accomplishing as much as possible, as soon as possible. With Factorio, the fact that you are saying it's a game that won't end until months and months down the road, that's scary, to be honest. But you can't beat like all of these positive reviews. Might be worth trying out later, like when I'm ready to turn off the world, kind of like how Admiral Beef was saying, I have to try out Divinity, but I have to make sure I'm, you know, yeah, I'm ready and focused to give it a go.
Overwhelmingly positive with 20,000 reviews. I mean, you don't see that very often.
Besides the local animals that attack you, are there other natural disasters or PvP or anything that can like happen to your factory to blow it up? Or
the only other people playing on your server are whoever you invite. You're making the world, you're trying to set this world up to your liking, pretty much. You can make, there's not pre-set up worlds. You can just make the game how you think you'll have the most fun. And then that you can make it probably a server without any aliens and just build. So, or you could put a ton of aliens and just fight the whole time. You know what I mean? Okay. It is what you want it to be. So after a few iterations, I'm sure you'll zero in on the nice mix between difficulty and...
But and it has,
I don't
really
know if there's earthquakes or...
Just looking at all the trailers and the photos, it has this really ant farm type of feel where you almost feel like a god overlooking, you know, like everything. I know you're a little character on this map, but everything is so like they're so tiny on this thing, like you really can't, like, you know, blink once and you'll miss something kind of thing.
Can zoom in all the way into, you're just like looking just above your head, or you can zoom out and see what you're seeing, like this super complex. And when you say like it's an ant farm, it is an ant farm, but you start with nothing. You start chopping down one tree and then you get to this, everything you guys are seeing. So it's very intricate, and like I said, I think it's at least for a year or two of your life, it's a lifestyle.
That's awesome.
And I don't know if I'm going to make that jump.
It's funny because when Bobby was scrolling down, the very first review on it says, I used to have a family. Now I have a factory. So, yeah. Don't forget to feed the dog when you play this game. Yes. Just saying.
So it's still in early access, and this game is $20. I have never seen it cheaper than that. $20, first of all, unusual price. Everything's always $19.99. $9.99, never a flat rate like that. But this game is a flat $20, and it has never, ever once gone on sale. I've kept my eye on this game because I heard it described on another podcast once, and I was very interested in it. And I've always wanted to pick it up, but I don't know, $20, I've never been willing to make the leap. Plus, I know it's a lot of time.
It's no Cuphead.
Yep. Factorio. Maybe I'll play it off your account. All right. So Beef. Call of Duty, World of War, or
Yay.
World War II.
Call of Duty, World War II. So I played beta. A little bit of this weekend. It's in open beta until, I guess, tomorrow night sometime. It's very Call of Duty. It's made by Raven Software, which did the Wolfenstein and a lot of the other Call of Duty multiplayers, I guess. But it feels very much like Wolfenstein Enemy Territory or some of the other the other Call of Duty multiplayers they've worked on. But I played Domination and Hardpoint, and there was a team deathmatch, and I think some other mosh pit. Random game mode, but I looked for like a 1v100 or battle royale, and I couldn't see anything yet. So far it's just deathmatch and kind of capture and hold so far.
No single player demo or anything like that?
Not that I could find, but okay. Their multiplayer lobby is like a base that you log on to and walk around and do.
Oh, so it's like a social lobby too, all in the same. Oh, that's gonna.
Like, do you have to like run over to the capture point level, and then that's where you stand if you want to play that?
Or is there like some social elements where somebody control you in the lobby? I'm sure. Or
so just, I didn't get that far into walking around, but basically it looks like character maintenance at this point. Mm. It's still the beta, but right now you just basically select the deathmatch, and it would be cool if there was like an area to walk over to select, hey, I'm going to stand in line here, but it's mostly go here to train and probably do character maintenance and appearance stuff. But
did you like the actual shooting and all of that part?
Yeah, it feels very Call of Duty, and it's also they're still polishing it because there's a couple moments where, like, you know, BS multiplayer where you see a guy, you start shooting him, and then you see and he insta kills you, and then you see the kill cam. Yeah. And you just stood there.
That's just you being old, man. That's all that is.
Well, they did say that people have already started to find exploits and hack the game too.
Yeah.
So they're having trouble with that. But they'll probably have VAC bans on this game, I'd assume, like other Call of Duty games on Steam. I think they have VAC support. I heard the machine guns also got nerfed too.
I think it's very early, though. Right?
I do. Oh, yeah. I like the Call of Duty series. I like it because the single player is great. There's just top of the like top tier development like put into this game. It's of course, you know, they have tons of money to, you know, work with. But with Call of Duty, every year I try it out for a little bit, and it's very rare to be disappointed by Call of Duty. This is going to be probably my most bought game for gift giving this season, I would say. Like, yeah. Well, maybe not the most bought game. I'm going to buy it for somebody else. I know that. But I wouldn't buy it for myself. That's how I feel about Call of Duty. It's like, I'd be happy buying it for somebody else, but for myself, like there's just more other things that would distract me.
Yeah. Everybody has a 13-year-old in their life. They could use a
exactly.
game you could buy
that's,
too.
That's basically what it is.
Well, this one definitely went back to their, you know, the multiplayer World War II roots after the last one where they went into space. That was fun, but this one is very, you know, German versus
Allied. Yeah, it's things swing back and forth. I think in, you know, the middle of the 2000s, we were just overwhelmed with a lot of World War II games, and people got sick of them. Then we started to move towards other things, and now I think with Battlefield 1 having so much success that the push for the old-fashioned World War games are possibly like, I don't know, they've never done like a Korean War game. Maybe that's some new territory they could explore. Vietnam's been done a couple times. I don't know. There's some other things, but I don't know. Maybe the time is right to bring back World War II games. But I distinctly remember a time when everybody was just sick of any World War II game. Like, it was just a nail in the coffin if you're going to release one of those.
Yeah, and everything back then was on rails. Like, all the first-person campaigns were on rails, stand here, trigger event A, and, you know, it got really... The space one, Infinite Warfare, the last one they did, the campaign was kind of interesting with some of the locales they took you to. And, yeah, it's, you know, they tried something different. But wasn't that, the most downvoted video on YouTube or something when they announced that? Like, hey, yeah. But, I mean, Battlefield 1 kind of almost went after, because I recently just started playing Battlefield 4 again, and I forgot how much I loved that game. And then after playing Battlefield 1, I kind of... I kind of stopped playing it and never went back. But after playing this, it's kind of, they found the balance of the old time weapons without crazy modern nuclear strike stuff. And, this gets back into kind of what made it fun. So,
yeah, Call of Duty is just a game. I think I can only play every 5 years or so. the last one that I played through was Black Ops 2. And I loved that game. Like, I had a great time. And before that, the last one I had played was the really popular one, I think Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare. So what happens is I play one of these games, I'm like, damn, these are actually really good. Now I get why everyone plays them. And then the next year the new one comes out and I'm like, all right, I'll pick it up. And then I get 15 minutes into it, I'm just like, eh, I'm over it. Seems like the same old thing. So I don't know. I think I just got to have like a long time in between each game. I can't do it every single year. But let's talk about Little Nightmares. That's another game you've been playing.
That one I just picked up recently, and so I played Inside by Playdead Studios, and I love that. I like the, you know, it's definitely the creepy vibe and action platformer, you know, a little bit of puzzles, but it's lightweight. And then this seems very similar. It's got the little kid, the mystery horror vibe, and a little bit of puzzles. I don't know how intricate it gets. I've only probably about the first, 10, 15, 20% of the game, but it's got a dark, like Tim Burton atmosphere to it. Style is very cool, very immersive, and the control scheme is basic. And I'm really enjoying the ambiance and the style of it. But it's very similar to some of the puzzles are similar to Inside, which I absolutely loved. So more of that, sign me up.
Oh no, I definitely like how creepy. It's creepy, but it's also cute at the same time. You're this, are you a little girl or a little boy running around in what looks like a yellow hooded, almost like a raincoat? Mm-hmm. Are you a girl or boy? Do you know?
I was not able to determine gender.
Oh, really? Okay, that's interesting.
The character's name is Six.
Gender is fluid, guys.
This was recently on a Humble Bundle. I don't know if it's still available. Probably not. I think I picked this up. Let's see. It'll tell me right here, won't it?
Yeah.
But I thought this told you.
I was just going to say, this looks extremely interesting, probably more so to me who's never played Outside or anything else. But the appeal to this, it's like your character seems like the most innocent thing in a creepy, nightmarish world. And it's I almost want to try this game out first and then try out Inside. What do you think about that?
I haven't spent enough time with this to make a decision, but I would highly, highly encourage you to play Inside.
Inside's so
good. Awesome.
So that one first.
Yeah. Right. Did you play the one before Inside, though?
I got frustrated with about a third or halfway through and never...
Because there's a little more platforming in that one, right?
Limbo, yeah.
Limbo, yeah.
And there's some puzzles where I'm like... Yeah. Like, I was watching the walkthroughs, and I'm like, okay, jump now, and then you die on spikes. And the art and the style is amazing. It's really cool to just watch, but yeah, I think I never finished.
Inside was a lot more digestible.
It is October, guys. Like, Spooktember.
Oh, yeah. Bobby, are you going to do your thing?
Not Spooktember.
There's not that many games yet.
I don't know. We'll
What's
see.
The way to
Maybe
say?
I'll finish Outlast 2 finally. But yeah, I am trying to find some good scary games to play. But Limbo was only like 4 or 5 hours. How long was Inside?
Not much longer.
Okay.
But
it's about the same.
Maybe shorter. I want to say shorter.
Yeah, it could be.
Okay. I don't know. I finished in like 2 nights.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You guys have that in your library?
Yeah, it's really
game
good.
Sharing. I'll definitely play it. When it comes to October, and not to be... I mean, I think everybody else gets in the mood to play horror games come horror season. So I will definitely be lining up some horror games to finish.
And by that, she means she'll play Divinity with all skeleton crew.
Skeletons are OP. Yeah. One little tip about if you guys have never played Undead in Divinity, with Divinity, once you get a face ripper, once you can change in between all the different races, for every change, you you get to use that race, that racial ability. Did you know
really?
That? Yeah. So if you're an elf form, you get to use the elf ability, and mid combat you can switch over to human and then use the human ability and still inspire. Have the benefits. Yeah.
But you
got to
give up a helmet slot
ability.
For that. I don't know if it's worth it.
It is sometimes, most times in my combat, in my games right now, in the combat in my game right now, it is worth it because the buff.
Trust Chi, dude. Elf, she has eight different games.
The elf
on.
Racial is super overpowered. So if you start off with Encourage, which is a human like buff, and then you switch over to Elf, and then you use the Elf racial, which gives you your AP back at the sacrifice of Constitution. Like, it's just an extra move for free, basically a buff for free.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea because when I was choosing the guy, who's the skeleton by default?
Fane.
Fane. I wanted him to be my main.
He's hilarious.
And then it like where it warned you. It's like, oh, this game's way harder if you play it as Fane, but then you just get the face ripper and then you're good, right? Inside of cities?
Yes, inside of cities. Yeah. And actually, if you wear a hood, they won't be able to tell that you're undead. The thing about enemies in Divinity, I'm not sure who told me this, but the reason why the game could be pretty hard, and I'm playing one tactician game, I'm playing one classic game, and it's much harder because the enemies have this like overpowered lore master. So if you're a glass cannon, they will focus fire at you. Like,
oh,
the AI is so much smarter now. If you're undead, they're going to heal you to death. So it's like one of those things where it's like they know everything and anything about
you. Standing in poison, you'll just be healing the whole time anyway.
And I'm
right?
not sure if they did something recently, but I noticed that before, when I started off as undead, you could use a poison wand and throw a puddle of poison on the floor and just touch it and heal yourself.
Yeah.
But I tried it again, and after maybe a week later, and the wand wasn't doing it anymore. I'm like, did they patch this?
That doesn't make sense anyway, that a wand would make a puddle. Like, the summoner can summon different kinds of things. But anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Back to fucking all right, Divinity Cast.
Let's move on to news here. I'll start this off with a Commodore 64 Mini is coming out. I don't know. None of us really had any interest in picking up the old Nintendo or Super Nintendo software. I think anyone who's a PC gamer probably knows about emulators and has been playing their old Super Nintendo and Nintendo games anyway. So these new retro machines that are coming out where you can play the classics aren't really
It's for console tards.
So is that the actual
I could say that because they're not listening.
No, this isn't.
Because they don't know how to download a podcast. Boom!
Oh, my
fucking
gosh.
Fucking combo.
Oh, no. Okay, so this is... it comes 64. With 64 games. I'm like, what is this?
I'm ashamed to say I never had a Commodore 64. I had an Atari 800.
She's too young.
Oh, I think
most people did. Yeah,
I know we owned an Atari, but I don't remember the Atari. Nintendo is the first and only system console that I recall.
The Commodore 64 was... Oh, my God. There was one game that I played a lot on this one. The only one that I really remember, and it was a rat in a maze, and you're running around trying to find cheese. That's really the only thing I ever remember about a Commodore 64, but I did have one of these. And I can't imagine. I mean, this has got to be – this is a niche. I mean, Atari, people might go for that. Nintendo, yeah, a ton of people. But a Commodore 64, that's a reach.
But, dude, they're making these things for probably, like, $5 a unit.
It looks
like
a keyboard.
Sell it for $70.
It's
Who's
just straight
it
up a keyboard.
Well, for how many bucks?
$70.
Yeah, and their price point is probably around $5 made in China.
Yeah, they're probably making it.
Yeah. So
but
if they sell
I do
a few,
like
it'll
that they
fine.
Kept the this is exactly this picture we're looking at is exactly what the Commodore 64 looked like. Like that little retro icon up there. I mean, that's exactly it. So I like that they didn't try to redo it and make it look different in any way. But I don't think they're going to sell a lot of those.
No, I mean, the hipster market is real here, guys. Like, they're like, oh my God, look at this. I didn't know what it was. And I'm a millennial who potentially could, I'm wearing hipster glasses.
Do you want
now.
It?
But I think a
so
real
it's,
hipster
do I want it? No, I don't want it.
Commodore 64, though, you know?
Like, I wouldn't even use that thing for, like a bookshelf.
The games weren't great. That's, I mean, like, it's cool for the, you know, you hit it. Like, anybody who really wants to play Commodore 64 games is going to emulate them.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I had the Atari computer version of this, which, you know, we had games on cassette tapes, and you had to press play, and it goes beep, boop, and, like,
yeah.
That's how you programmed it. And
wait, can we get the sound effects one more time? Oh, okay.
And the games are awful.
Ooh, it took me right back.
Honestly, it's
horrible.
So my first impression of Zork was when they put it into one of the Call of Duty games. I forgot which Call of Duty it was specifically. Uh-huh. And I imagine this is like the device you would, because it just looks like
a Zork
keyboard.
Game. Yeah.
It looks like a keyboard, and people are calling it a console, or I guess it was a console, but like.
Zork on a C64?
But it looks like the perfect console to play Zork with, I feel like.
Yeah.
Bobby, was it a computer or a console?
The Commodore 64? Yeah.
It was a computer, right?
It was a computer.
That had some games on it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It has a keyboard. I don't know.
We're talking about pre-PC? Before
desktop?
A personal IBMs computer? Were around, PCs were around, but they were super expensive, and they were more like business.
This is a more accessible one.
This was the home computer. The Atari 400, 800 were the same, and then the Atari 64. But everybody I know who is in the tech industry, who is like old-time, like ops programmers, had one of these as a kid, and I didn't. I had the Atari because I had like the basic programming cartridge and then all the like, Pac-Man.
Do they make fun of you about this? They're like, oh, look, here comes the Atari boy.
Well, it was a shitty computer.
This is super retro, though. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy it, but that's cool.
All right. Another bit of news here. Battle.net has a mobile app. So they've got the authenticator, which I've had to use before for your games. You know, two-factor authentication, pretty common. But now they actually have a mobile app, but there's nothing you can really do with it. You remember when they came out with the Steam mobile app? Like you can actually do a lot with that.
You can
buy games with it. You can chat with your friends. You can install games remotely. Apparently with the Blizzard or the Battle.net app for your phone.
It's only a mobile authenticator?
No. That's what sucks, dude. The mobile authenticator is a separate app.
Oh, my God.
So, really?
Yeah. Oh.
So this, all you can do is just talk with your friends and see what games they're playing.
Who's in charge of this?
I don't know. Dude, Blizzard has, like, as much as I love them and as much as they do stuff right, like, they are so behind the times when it comes to the Battle.net application, you still cannot put yourself in an offline mode. So if you're on playing a game, you cannot hide that from anybody, which seems like a terrible thing if you play World of Warcraft. I mean, there's definitely been times where I don't want people to know that I'm playing World of Warcraft, like, for 12 straight hours.
You know? Maybe they need to hire a Bobby Digital over there to take care of their their stuff.
Yeah, and, maybe. Well, there is
that's ridiculous. This is just common
place. There is something unique about, I admit, like, Battle.net is like way down on the totem pole when it comes to doing things right, like you said. But it was interesting that when they released the patch, I think it was around when Diablo 3 came out, where you can talk to people who are playing different games and they show up as whispers. So like one person could be playing WoW and then somebody else could be playing Diablo. And then like you could talk to each other like you're playing, like you're on the same server. So that was kind of trippy.
That's something that's
expected. So that did pull you away. You didn't have to alt tab, shift tab to talk to somebody. So it was like in-game. But then again, like that was but I would never really have people use that as their main source of communication for me. So...
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's probably the best way to get a hold of me is the Battle.net app.
Really? Oh, the irony.
Or is that what I should be doing? That doesn't even work, guys.
Because I have notifications turned off on Discord. So if I have Discord minimized, I don't see anything. And then my phone, like, fuck.
You have two screens.
Yeah.
You have two screens. What's on your second screen?
Steam is number one for me.
When I put Discord up in the second screen, weird things start to happen, man. Like, I need to build a new computer or something. I'm getting weird little errors.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, here's
I think he's making this all up so he doesn't have to talk to you people.
Yeah.
You know, when you guys aren't, like, we're not live, he calls you guys you people. Them people. It's fucking weird.
All right.
Stole my baby.
Yeah, Soma developers are making a new game. So this is
I'm
no
so
big
excited
secret.
For this. Oh my goodness, so excited. Tell me
is
more.
Is that a Taizan Day?
Wait, aren't we talking about
that
Tacoma?
That is not Taizan Day. That is actually from the game. That's
I thought they made
kind
Tacoma.
Of, it's kind of racist, Bobby.
No, that totally looks like, that doesn't look like Taizan Day.
Do they all look like Taizan Day to you? This is
know.
Horrible.
I don't know who.
Somebody needs Taizan to Day. Link this like article in the Discord.
Chocolate Rain?
Yeah.
I just saw that guy because he actually plays here. He actually streams a little bit. Like that's what he does now. And he's streamed Heroes of the Storm before. He's fucking terrible at it. But I was just watching something with him in it. So maybe that's why I got him on the brain. And I was
I'm pretty sure that's a woman too.
That looks like Taizan Day to me. No, he's got the glasses.
Titzan Day. We just found ourselves a Titzan Day.
Anyway, what's the name of this developer? Frictional Games. So they made Soma, and they've been working on other games, but apparently one of them is like in full production, and I don't know if they have a release date yet, but it's supposedly going to be really good and really scary. These guys have made Amnesia, Soma, all the classic horror games, Penumbra.
Soma was 10 out of 10 in my book. I love that game. Love that game so much.
I have a question about Soma. I have it. I think I played like 2 minutes of it, but I stopped playing it because somebody, spoiler alert, but somebody said it's not a horror game, Soma.
It's not meant to be.
It's a walking simulator, right?
It's definitely a walking simulator, and I thought it was going to be a horror game, but the more I played into it, it was actually more,
it's like a sci-fi thriller.
Yeah, it's okay. More of a thriller game, definitely sci-fi thriller, Under the Sea, but it was probably one of the most like emotional string pulling games that I've like heartstring pulling games I've played in a long time. I'm pretty sure I cried playing this game, but it's really good and it's got one of the best spoilers. What do you call it?
Twists
of any games that I've ever
like gone
played.
Home?
So
that's
yeah,
kind of like Gone Home then.
Gone Home was no the lesbian everything, twist. Yeah, that's not a real twist.
I don't know if that was it.
Spoilers. Jesus.
Oh my gosh. No, but Soma, great game. Play it through to the end. You'll appreciate the game and you'll appreciate that you did it. So okay.
It's longer than most games like this though. I'd say the game's like what, 10 hours long?
Yeah, I would say nine. I think it took me 9 hours to beat the game.
So anyway, we're all happy that they're making a new game, right?
Yep. I am very happy. I streamed and beat the game. It was one of the few games I ever beat in the past couple of years, so I recommend it.
So Assassin's Creed Origins is introducing a new mode, I guess. It's going to be like a
educational mode.
Yeah, like a downloadable content. So it's called Discovery Mode, and you go in there, and it takes away all the missions, and it takes away all of the killing. And you can just go around and kind of digest all of the history of the time. And
it turns Assassin's Creed into a walking simulator.
Yeah. Or maybe even more like a playable documentary is what I was thinking about when I read about it.
That would be so cool.
Yeah. And so it's because when you're talking about, it's EA, right? EA, right?
Ubisoft.
When you're talking about these giant, mega companies, they put so much time into getting the story right, doing the history,
fact checking, sending
people out to actually go there, cartography, all kinds of stuff. Like millions and millions of dollars are being spent.
Was the mole on the left butt cheek
yeah,
or
exactly.
right butt cheek?
Yeah. Hopefully she had one on each. That's how I like it.
Wait, what?
What?
Oh, so, it's like nipples on the ass.
Wow, what?
You brought it up. You asked.
No.
I mean, you thought of it.
So
no.
This is only for Assassin's Creed Origins, though.
Yeah.
So I'd
so
like
it's
to see this with Black Flag. I mean, with the pirates.
I don't know if it's going to go that back retro, but maybe going forward, bigger games. Because they have already spent the money. Why not just add this small little thing? All you have to get is a narrator to speak what they think are facts
so
or whatever.
So it's like basically an audio tour. And an open world museum.
I think it's a great idea.
That's really cool.
I don't want to sound uncultured, but who would they think the market for this is?
That they didn't really know. But here, the classroom, they said, for sure. But then I was thinking, as I was reading this article, that I am a game player, but I'm also huge into documentaries. So I might do this on my own afterwards. I mean, if I was unemployed and all that. But if I had the time is what I mean. It's hard to... But if you're into documentaries, you'd probably be into this. Especially if you're into the Egyptology
thing. Or if you were he who shall not be named.
Yeah.
From, you know...
Yeah.
If you just hate playing games that are too hard for you, you might as well just take the whole... Take game out the whole combat system.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. Through the desert. You can not die. Push that button.
Oh, that's me.
No. I wasn't talking about you, B.
Oh, you can. That's fine. Game's too hard. Make it easy for me. I just see the mystery and the plot and all that.
For this, I doubt it's story-driven. I think it might be just more like, you know, walking up to something and learning about something or seeing something like, you know, from a powerful graphical position. And it's not quite a movie, though. But with this, I feel like it would be great in the classroom with virtual reality. Yeah. Like, you know, having kids put on, like, I doubt this will happen, but having kids put on in, like, a virtual reality classroom. Because we all took field trips. Happen. Instead of taking field trips to the planetarium, just put on a VR headset. Yeah. And you could have these kids walk around and just, like, learn while playing video games in the classroom.
It's all baby steps. All obviously all going to the same place. I don't think kids are even going to be going to physical school at one point.
Well, they aren't.
They're just going to wake up one day and they'll be like,
I'm pretty sure there's like, well, of course it's like being homeschooled, but I think there's also like online high school diplomas and whatnot.
You can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You guys nailed it.
Mr.
Yep.
Teacher.
You guys certainly nailed the educational system.
Yeah.
No. I mean, like...
Wouldn't you love to put a VR headset on one of your students?
Bobby, would you say what you do is the most efficient way to teach humans things?
It depends on what grade level you're working with.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, a lot of this stuff sounds learners good would on love paper, this. But then when you actually see something in a classroom environment, you immediately find out what's effective and what isn't.
Yeah.
And it's... Technology is not the answer. Buying expensive equipment and throwing it at kids and expecting them to be all hyped about it is definitely not the answer for that, at least not at the level that I work with. But
Well, one thing's for sure. The kids staying home and putting on VR headsets will not hurt their social skills. After playing the Call of Duty World War II beta, I don't think you can go further downhill.
I feel like when you were telling me how you got cheesed by a kid, like getting one shot, I felt like being the person that gets cheesed in that game, if you can't actually kill the person that has like what do you call it, like a kill streak on you or is dominating you, it's like that's when the toxicity oozes out, and they're like, if I can't kill him, through the game, I'm gonna kill him with my meanness, kind of thing. Yeah, like kids that like rage because they.
I think you're speaking for yourself.
No, pretty sure. No, I'm speaking for the culture of Call of Duty.
I have been on the receiving end of that.
Yeah. It's like so they get more violent and mean.
Yeah, even the sore winner complex where it's like wrecked. Like.
Have you got that coveted solo chicken dinner win?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Several times.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
In fact, nothing against Danielson and Mr. Open Sweet and Dalek and those guys because I love playing with them.
Yeah.
But I love playing solo so much that I have friends that are not on your Discord or that I play with. And, you know, I don't want to get down the PUBG rabbit hole, but like I've found myself like berating people because we drop on school as a four team, like, hey, let's separate two and two and go loot. And I'm like, no, we're at military base, dude. We're at school. Like you can't separate.
Yeah.
And they just don't know the fundamentals. But like,
Beef, were you with me when I was
splitting up
running?
Is never a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, Beef was there when when he won the game and I was running into Eternity.
She
like,
got disconnected and just full on booking through the middle of the circle. Shot at
and they won the game, but I didn't get the win for that one.
Oh,
funny thing happened to me in Divinity as well. I disconnected and I actually posted this on our Instagram, which is @digital_logic with a K.
Lot of stuff going on our social now.
Yeah, I'm trying to do more with that.
Tag digital_logic at Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Yes. And it's funny because I DC'd and my character was just running, and she managed to actually run through the sea. And it's so funny because everyone knows about Tutorial Island. And so I'm just like deep in the sea, almost in the black zone, and then everyone's just laughing because they're like, oh my gosh, you really want to get off of get out of Fort Joy, don't you? Because I'm just like perpetually running. Happens to me in almost every game I play. I don't know why I'm
that
unlucky.
So weird. What happens when people DC, just watching, you know, instantly, as soon as somebody's not moving like a human moves, you're like, oh, what's that? And going back to last week, Escape from Tarkov, you need to try to figure out if the guys that are the other scavs are humans or not. And you have to kind of study their body language. It's really interesting. Well, like a really cool thing in that game that a lot of other games don't have. But the reason that there's a lot of stuff going on in our social media is we partnered with Tag Laurel. He's doing some work with us. And Chi has been all over it as well. So we're actually trying now. So that's going on.
We're actually trying now.
If you want to see Bobby's tattoo, that's
I saw that.
That's been trending.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We're actually
Not aware of this.
Yes.
All right. Chi, you want to bring up
Truce? It's our most popular post in the last 6 days,
Bobby. All right. So Truce, I wanted to bring this up. It's not really a news article. It's actually, if you loved Valve's original documentary, I forgot what it was called. I think it was just called... What was it called?
Free to Play.
Free to Play, exactly. They came out with a new series, which is available on YouTube, and there's a couple. It's an episodic series. So it's called True Sight. It's developed by Valve. It's a documentary series that follows particular Dota 2 teams. Recently, there was the Internationals, so it's a good way to get a behind-the-scenes, really up-close and personal experience of the latest tournament. So I haven't seen an episode yet. I just found out about this. But I'm excited because I really, really, really enjoyed Free to Play. I wonder if True Sight is maybe not completely along the lines is that movie, but it is a series, so they'll be continuously releasing episodes.
Bobby, have you heard of this?
No, I haven't heard of this yet. It looks like they're following Evil Geniuses, though.
Yeah, but I feel like if Bobby hadn't heard of this, how did you hear of it, Chi? Like, I haven't heard of it. This seems pretty big.
Well, I get on, my Google Now.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, so...
God, Google Now
my Google
so
brain recommended that I check this out, so...
Google our overlords.
I'll definitely check that out. I love gaming documentaries, especially about Dota.
Yeah, I say we should check it out and come back and talk about it next week.
Yeah, it looks like it's split into 5 episodes.
Right now, I think it's up
41
to...
41 minutes apiece.
Varying in looks
length.
Like it's got 5 episodes right now.
The last one's only a half
And you can
long.
Even watch it on Steam, at least the 2 most recent. All free.
All right.
Back to the notes. So Intel kind of hinted that they're working on this thing called another chipset called Sapphire Rapids, which is their 12th generation. Meanwhile, they're about to launch their 8th. So this is 4 generations down the road. Wait, is that right? Yeah, 4 generations down the road. I don't know if they're putting this out because they kind of fell behind. A little bit. You don't think of Intel falling behind, but apparently, as far as the heavy hitters go, they were the last one to get to the 10 nanometer size chips, and they said that they're going to be the first one to 7 nanometers for their chipset. So I just thought it was exciting that, well, I don't know if it's exciting or if it's just propaganda. To say, like, hey, we were last time, but we're going to be first
So it's
next
like
time.
Taking one step back to take 2 steps forward.
Maybe. No, maybe they took
I
one.
I think this is a response to something that the CEO of NVIDIA said.
Yeah.
He said that CPUs are going to be obsolete and all processing is going to be done on graphics cards in the future. So I think there was some pushback from the CPU developers, obviously, saying, no, there's... still going to be relevant and they have a future. But after, who's
maybe.
To say?
Yeah.
After using the GeForce experience, let's hope that never happens.
Yeah.
That's very true. I've, I like a lot of, especially newer and more popular launch titles that I've experienced, I've had a lot of like minute difficulties when it comes to especially streaming and dealing with setting, like getting it to complement with my video your card setup and my settings and everything else. It's weird. So,
do you ever use the optimize button, and does that work for you or no?
I don't think I use the optimize button, no.
Bobby, do you use it?
Sometimes. Usually, no. I mean, I go into a, when I first load up a game, I go into the options and I know exactly what to look for. That is the very first thing I do whenever I load up any single game. And I don't know if that's what a lot of people do. I mean, when you guys first get a game and you go to play it,
I have
you go
fun
right into the options and look.
The first thing I do is have fun.
That's right. You're having so many issues. You don't turn VSync off and your games are lacking.
You're like, I'm not having
or
fun.
Have fun or return the game. Those are my options.
Yeah, but, setting yourself up for success there.
That's a console attitude right there.
Yeah. No, it is.
I don't think that belongs in PC gaming. But yeah, I always do that and I kind of know what I'm looking for.
You take your pleb elsewhere, Emilio.
But
just get it on my face.
The optimize is a great feature. If I'm having issues or if I think there's something not quite right in the settings, then yeah, I'll absolutely use the optimize, but it's not the first thing I do.
Welcome, Raging Cajun. Haven't seen you before. And welcome, Diagonal Alley. No.
Dude, I love Raging Cajun anything. That just sounds like
it's a great name.
A delicious, like,
I'm pretty sure he's been here
seasoning
before.
Diagonal. What does that say? Diagonal. Jordan, 87. Jordan,
nailed
that's
it.
What I'm going to call you.
Got it.
I think he's a year older than me, if 87 is his birth year.
All right, so are we ready for some listener feedback?
Favorite part of the podcast for me.
Sometimes. All right, Warconius always got the listener questions. He's asking, just finished up Trine 2. Every screen looks like a beautiful painting. Any other games that you feel the same about?
Transistor.
Cuphead.
Yeah, Cuphead, definitely. Trine 2, first of all, I felt the same way. Trine 2, actually, it might even have been the first Trine. I took so many screenshots of that game.
It's gorgeous.
And I came back later and looked at my Steam library and was like, why the fuck do I have all these? I mean, this is like just any screenshot. There's nothing special about it. Like, at the time of playing it, I was like, this is beautiful. I got to capture this.
There's nothing special about those screenshots within that game. But that game's art is special, right? Is that what you mean? Like, the entire game looks gorgeous.
Yeah. At the time I was playing it, I was very impressed, and I wanted to capture all these moments. But then looking back, I was just kind of like, I could go online and find these same screenshots everywhere else. There's nothing special, you know. There's no. I try to be a little more selective with my screenshots.
Bobby,
you know?
You're special, man.
Like, if, I take screenshots of pizza. Eventually, I'll release that.
What?
I think I'm up to about 40 screenshots.
Do you guys not know about this? He collects video game pizza.
Yeah, so.
Video game pizza?
We've been over this before. I think I had it on Imager. So.
This is before Cheap, Bobby, that you came up. Yeah.
See, there's Divinity Original Sin. We got a pizza in that game.
Oh, yep. How cute.
Commander Keen, going back to 1990. Got a pizza right there. Lego Jurassic.
Do you have a picture of your girlfriend in a pizza?
No.
Well, she's not real. So,
do you have the pizza forever from Jazz Punk? I like that pizza a lot.
Oh, I do.
You do?
I should, at least. When did Jazz Punk come out? 2000, Gone Home, Deadpool. No, I have a screenshot of ICQ. There's an ICQ icon in
Jazz Punk. Octodad pizza on there. I love this.
Octodad's
one of my
Brian,
favorite
you ever
games.
Play Octodad?
Soma pizza?
I don't think so.
I challenge you to get your non-gamer buddies to get together and play Octodad. It is a hoot. It's because you're playing one character all together, and each one of you is two limbs.
A tentacle.
Yeah.
If you and your gentleman friends want to become a tentacle-like monster, play Octodad.
Yeah, if you ever thought, maybe.
That's something you might be into. Yeah.
So if you want to see that, go to Bobby's profile on Steam.
Well, yeah, on Steam. You can see them all there. But I have them like dated and categorized on my computer, and I want to work that into an Imager album eventually. But yeah, so beautiful games. I feel like there's a lot of platformers that fit the bill here. Ori and the Blind Forest.
I know Guacamole for that me name drop.
Yeah, I haven't even played Ori and the Blind Forest, but I know everyone loved that one. But Guacamole for me was one of those games where the art style was really just everything about that game came together.
I wasn't just saying Cuphead because we talked about it earlier, but a lot of it is because the background. So you go to Ori and the background is rocks and trees and they're gorgeous. It's like somebody hand painted them with oils. You know, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
But when you're playing Cuphead, the background is slightly animated. Like the little characters back there are blinking or maybe waving, kind of like a Street Fighter thing, but just beautifully animated. So, you know, there's so many gorgeous games. But yeah. Those are the ones
that stand out. They're all like those 2D platforms. Like Child of Light is another game that a lot of people really, really talked up the visual.
Who should not be named really like that game.
Yeah. Any other recommendations from you guys? Beautiful looking games.
Like
snapped a bunch of screenshots. 2D
art style background.
Bring Inside again. Every time I play that.
Like for sure.
The style and the movement and the little touches of lighting. And there's one part where there's some sonic boom type thing that goes on.
Yeah.
It'll kill. Like, that's awesome. That's...
I think we'd be hard pressed to find a 3D first person perspective or, you know, third person perspective game, like something that wasn't a 2D game that really captures that beautiful painting look in the same way. All right. Anyway, Mini Del Macho, what's the worst / most degrading job you ever had?
Can I say my current job? I'm going to answer that with my current job.
A bartender?
I'm a dive bar bartender. And
Dive bar makes it worse.
Yeah. So, yes. And that's enough said.
Gee, I had a $45 shot at a bar last night.
That like, $45
there.
Would,
go work there. I tipped a guy $17.
That's the thing. It's not the money. It's like
the clientele.
Not the clientele. Fuck all of that noise. Fuck the job itself. Like, I don't think I really even like being in the industry. I'm just kind of in that weird, like, I'm still trying to figure myself out before I'm 30. And I'm just frolicking in this noise of, like, being a lost millennial. So it's, I don't know. I just, like, I'm figuring it out.
You're not 30 yet?
No, I'm 28. I'm turning 29 next month.
You got plenty of time. I ain't figuring my shit out till like last week.
I didn't get my life on track until I was about 26, so you've got time.
What, 26?
Yeah, something like that.
But answer the question.
I mean, that's 3 years younger than me.
Oh,
I mean,
totally.
So it's too late for you, Chi.
Right.
Telemarketer.
For a girl? You know?
Telemarketer.
Telemarketer was tough. Awful.
Yeah. Cold calling?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Cold calling, robocalling.
Oh, man.
Cold calling for insurance salesmen and stuff. Oh, it's awful.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be tough. I mean, I work tech support, which isn't as bad as telemarketing. That was a tough one, just trying to talk people through, like, fixing their wireless router over the phone. This is, like, back in 2004 when, like, wireless just didn't work. You know, people call up, like, my shit doesn't work. I'm like, yep, pretty much. That's wireless in 2003. But my absolute worst job was definitely my first job ever, which was selling newspapers door to door. I am not a salesman. I'm many things. I'm not a salesman. I cannot sell somebody something that they do not need. I can't look someone right in the eye and be like, you should buy this, even though you have absolutely no need for it. Like,
you don't sell the product. You sell your charm, Bobby.
Yeah, well, that's where the problem is. But I think I made like two whole sales the entire time I did that. And it was just knocking on someone's door, they open up, you know, some people, they got weird lifestyles. You don't know what's going on there. So like, I did not like that job, door to door selling newspapers. And it's a paper job, so they could pay you less than minimum wage. I was making like $4.50 an hour or something.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I have a story for that. This is... So I grew up in Ohio, Toledo, Ohio, and I was in the Boy Scouts. So we collected newspapers for a newspaper drive. We weren't really selling anything. And I was probably 13 years old, and I went to this door, and I rang the doorbell, and the door opened, and I thought I was looking into, like, somebody had, like, a pit dug in their living room.
Oh, my gosh.
And it turned out that it's this woman that lives there, and she's basically a torso with arms. And I was a 13-year-old kid, and I'm like...
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, panic, fear, and then the social,
like,
contract.
Like, so horny.
Don't call attention to it and be an asshole. And then, hi, I'm with the Boy Scouts. Do you have any newspapers? But, like, that was the freak. Like,
did she invite you in?
No.
No.
I was 13, so I...
Well, you didn't have to worry about her raping you.
Yeah, well,
I'm sorry. That's so cruel.
No, I mean, she could have.
Like, PTSD trauma when you just brought up lifestyles.
I'm sorry.
As far as, like, degrading my current job, I guess would be the most degrading. I pick up other people's unwanted things, and sometimes they're nasty things, but it is by far the most profitable thing. So it's like weird, because it's like I'm doing shitty ass work, but I'm making more money than I've ever have. So it's, I don't know, somewhere when you're the boss of something, it makes it a little different than being the guy that's just doing it.
And that's one dream. Being like, I would say like anything, working for anybody else feels degrading in my world, in my brain. Basically being like, it's almost like a paid slave.
Well,
you wouldn't be a slave if you were paid, but I'm saying like, I worked salary jobs like for 11 years and, I used to call like salary borderline, you know, it's just a couple letters away from being slavery. It sounds too much like slavery.
Yeah.
Like I can work extra hard and get paid the exact same amount and it doesn't matter. And it's like, and I'm so easily replaceable. And it's just like one of those things where it's like, you know what? It's like, I would like, as long as like you're your own boss, like that's so rewarding. And
that's the thing about being
your own boss. I've never experienced it.
The more work you put in, the more revenue you.
And it's bullshit because I've been in higher authority managerial positions. So technically I am the boss, but I wasn't the boss.
I feel a rant coming on.
I was still an underling to, you know, the COO and all of that. So it was just like, you know, it's okay, moving on.
Okay.
Emu Killer asks, are you ever doing a Patreon giveaway?
Yes.
We did do one where I gave away some of the better games that I had on my list. I want to do another one, but
the list
is running dry. But yeah, we will also be giving away the keyboard to one of our Patreons. The
Before.
Keyboard that we had talked about. Yeah, we're going to be doing that this week.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Before this is out.
All right. So Bloody Keyboards, they've been hooking us up with some keyboards. We've been liking them. You can buy
except
one
for this
on Amazon.
One.
Yeah, this one we weren't a big fan of, but we absolutely
love
like their...
If you like the sound of your ears bleeding, you will like this keyboard.
Some people like the clicky keyboard.
And it's not as loud as some games.
It's pretty.
It
looks are better than
streamer.
How it sounds, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll be giving that away to one of our Patreons coming up soon. All right, so Admiral Beef, we got a question from you. Did you want to read your own question here?
I don't think you're going to read it. Okay. If you want to go ahead and read it, it was basically because of something you brought up last week about you know, being nostalgic for
games.
Sorry.
No, he can go ahead and
He can't read it.
It's his,
read it.
But you know the question, right?
Yeah, it's basically, does anybody else remember Free Space 2? It was probably like early 2000s, and it was a... single-player space shooter, and I just remember it having, like, Ronnie Cox, I think Michael Ironside, and somebody else of note on the voice acting list, and the single-player campaign was just epic. Like, you would fly into combat against huge capital ships. The graphics weren't great, but it was before Homeworld, and there was some other stuff. And the graphics now, it's nothing to write home about, but I just remember, like, I had played Wing Commander and some of these other, you know, space shooters, and this thing just seemed super epic. And you never hear anything about it. Nobody remembers it. It's never been remade.
Bobby, so, you play it?
No, this seems like a game that I would remember. Apparently, Mini Del Macho in chat remembers this one. But it says a follow-up to the classic Descent Free Space. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember this game. I mean, this is the classic Interplay logo right here. Like,
yeah.
I'll never forget that, but...
Mixed reviews, but that might be because of the port to Steam. I don't know. Or
I mean, it's old. It's like early 2000s. It has to be.
Yeah, yeah. The negative reviews are saying get the GOG version, which is pretty much the case of any of these old classics. If you go to Good Old Games, GOG.com, they're probably the best place to buy an old classic game. They go through so much effort to make sure that it runs
on
their systems.
Yeah,
Steam just kind of throws it out there and says, well, you know, if it works, it works.
Yeah.
Like for a long time, the Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2 the Steam version didn't even work on like Windows 10. For like
oh, you never brought
time.
That game up before, Bobby. What is that?
Oh, that game? You haven't heard of Dark Forces 2? Well, I'll save it for another week.
Please tell.
System Shock 2 was the same way. The sound never worked for like a year.
Yeah. Steam just doesn't give a shit. So GOG.com, you definitely want to get.
Can we get somebody to vet these questions before they come in? I'm kidding. These are jokes, folks.
This does look, I mean, for the time that it came out, this does look like extremely.
So you're playing as a fighter versus capital ships?
Yeah. Like
that sounds awesome.
And against other ships. Like, and it's got like the single player, like, you know, the Wing Commander type campaign where you live on a capital ship and you deal with aliens and you know, piss people off and you make friends and you advance your career. But just some of the battles, like, you know, they have the whole, like, we're going to fly this capital ship into enemy space and it's going to get blown up, but all these other ships, like Battlestar Galactica type stuff. Mm.
That's what I really was thinking stuff. In my brain when yeah. I was thinking and in my brain.
Thinking in your brain? The good thing you were thinking in your That's foot.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh my gosh, this looks like Battlestar Galactica. You could be, what's his name, Commander?
Starbucks.
Oh yeah, him. But that's the thing. Actually. But then at the same time, I was like, why don't I play these games? I love sci-fi. And but when I look at space shooters, it's borderline, the way I translate it, it almost feels like a racing game with, like, because you're shooting. Maneuvering, mm-hmm. But then with shooting. And I was like, oh, maneuvering a vehicle does not sound fun. Even though it's like a fighter jet or a spaceship, I think maneuvering and shooting is, like, outside of, like, yeah, it's for me, it's not fun.
Might be better
fun.
With a flight stick. Like those six DOF games, 6 Degrees of Freedom, like Descent, those games are tough if you don't have a flight stick.
So in other words, if you have to maneuver a vehicle, it is bad in cheese brain.
Well, stuff like this didn't really, I mean, like Elite Dangerous, and I know there's something else that's, you know, you use the flight sticks, but like.
Have you ever thought about Elite Dangerous? I was going to suggest that the game to you, if you like this.
I don't have a flight stick anymore, and I don't want to invest the time or money.
Oh, in yeah.
yeah.
But it's...
You could have Chad's. He bought it for one game, and it lasted one day.
What game?
At least Dangerous, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, he also got, like, X-Wing and TIE Fighter in the classics, oh, yeah. but, you know, like me, he loaded it up and was like, too old.
Yeah. yeah. That's the problem. But yeah. that's all TIE Fighter and X-Wing were. It's like, scroll, 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 shoot, scroll, 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 shoot.
Yeah. Elite Dangerous, what's interesting about that is we brought this up a while ago, that a guy that was just exploring randomly saw an alien. You remember that? And then I don't know if they had singled this guy out, but he saw it again. He had been the only one, and he recorded it, and he put it out. And then people were like, oh, there's aliens in this game. And then now, just now, like these weeks or this month, like those aliens have declared war. So those people that who have been like fighting against each other and just rival factions are banding together against this alien for threat. How sweet is that? How sweet is that?
I love that level of just like commit to your audience.
And a story arc half written by the players and half written by the developers. That's the way it's supposed to go. It's gorgeous. All right.
All right. Next question coming from Xeris. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. It says, Bobby, what is your opinion on Anna in HOTS? She's the new hero that just came out. She's obviously the first release character for Overwatch, so a lot of people know her skill set from there. And I don't know. I played a good amount of her, and I think she's all right. But really, her release and her kit and like everything she brings to the game really clarifies what's happening with this whole double support thing that's going on in Heroes of the Storm. A lot of people don't like the double support because it drags out the game, makes the fight longer. But I don't know. It seems like the way that Blizzard is committing to the game direction, it seems like they're making supports more specialized. So one support just can't do everything. You have to have two supports to cover the weak spots of the other one. I don't know. I think her coming out just kind of clarifies that double support is not going away, which, I mean, I think I've kind of accepted that. Like, I'm okay with it. I didn't like it at first, but now I'm just kind of dealing with the fact that, that's how it's going to be. But she's fun. She's interactive. She's all skill shot based, so she's fun to play. I don't know how good she is yet. Like, I don't know where she fits in. Like,
I have an opinion, too.
Yeah, what's that?
So I was looking at this, and I was like, I'm sorry, I've never seen it before. And then I was like, oh, there's never been a HOTS question before. And then I did a little math, and then Xeris backwards spells Bobby. So I was, stop putting your own HOTS questions in the, no, I'm kidding, Xeris.
Okay. All right, last question coming from Mobius. I'd love your thoughts on this. And he's got something linked. I'll bring it up. Most of the best things to ever come about are usually the second or third iterations of a concept. Arma Battle Royale mod, H1Z1 King of the Kill, and now PUBG. Companies take existing concepts and build and improve on them with better tech more efficiently. Do you think this could be the case with a game like this?
So there's a company that's coming out with their...
version of an open world PvP kind of map, and they're going to be able to support up to 1,000 players, not 100. And for the Battle Royale that they have planned, it's going to be supporting 400. This is on the Crytek engine, I believe. And so the fidelity and the graphics are... Actually, this is probably the worst screenshot. If you scroll down a little bit further, Bobby, you can see that, like, the brush is going to be moving actually clearer, and you're going to have way more characters or players that to contend with. And it's just basically the next hardware step or software step to what PUBG is already doing. He's asking if it can be improved upon, and do we really think that something like this is needed? Bigger isn't always better. What, in my opinion, like, PUBG already has all these iterations, and they're very passionate about the game. And as far as gameplay-wise, they're going to be at the forefront. Now, you might be able... Somebody can come down tomorrow with something way prettier and way more robust in their abilities of hosting players and how many players and all of that. But will the fun be there? Where at the end of the game, these are games and they got to be fun. So I would love a more pretty PUBG. Are we going to get one that is as fun as PUBG? I don't know. But yeah, competition is what breeds excellence. So,
well, if someone does something well, somebody else can always do it better. And I will definitely try it out just for comparison's sake.
Yeah, Yahoo and Netscape are hard evidence that first is not always the best.
Yeah.
But when I see like 400 people concurrent, the first thought I had was something like, imagine a six-person Overwatch team dropped in with 100 other six-person Overwatch teams.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that would be crazy, but I would try it.
Well, like, when you said it like that, now I'm sold. Yeah, like, they gotta hire you.
Like, PUBG is four people scrounging loot, but there's no healer, there's no support, there's no ammo guy. Like Battlefield 4, like, you know, you have your classes. Like, imagine having six, you know, class-based group, and if you lose your healer, well, you might not make it to the end, but you're
that's
still
awesome.
Good. Yeah, something like that.
It's almost like an open world, arena in a sense, right?
Yeah, that's what it was said. Like 1,000, it can hold 1,000 people.
They really need something for the dead guy to do, though. You know, the guy who dies first, like 5 minutes into the game.
That's Bobby and PUBG.
He can go to the corner and he can go to the corner and just cry. Just kidding.
It'd be nice if you can turn into like a tactically like an overlord,
like in CS:GO, where you can scout.
Or have a.
Can you still do that in CS:GO?
Ghost.
Yeah, you can ghost for your team.
Well, not on official competitive servers now.
Okay.
Yeah, Bobby.
And but
cheating.
Or in like maybe in WoW, like maybe as a penalty, they have to like walk back from the graveyard or something like that. You know, it's kind of like a time punishment.
Well, spectating in PUBG does actually, in squads, it actually does help. Even in duos, like, you have an extra set of eyes scanning the horizon. It helps a lot. But it's also like you're sitting there hoping that your team will get a chicken dinner without you. So,
yeah, pretty boring. I don't know. So I think to answer Mobius's question, my opinion is that, we see a lot of games come out and then a lot of copycats come out, and until someone does it right, like, we were waiting so long for like a really good version of this game to come out, and I think PUBG did it. And even if a better, like a quote unquote better version comes out, there's still people who are going to be loyal to PUBG. They are committed to that, and it's going to become one of those things where it's just a matter of preference. So I don't know.
PUBG could very well be like the World of Warcraft of Battle Royales.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like with WoW as an MMO, a lot of MMOs succeeding, coming afterwards, they claim to be bigger and better than, of course, WoW. But WoW has been one of the longest standing communities of MMOs. And so many people that try to play other MMOs are comparing it to WoW and saying, hey, this isn't WoW, so I can't enjoy it. So I wonder if PUBG, if we're in the era of where this is staple for BR and everything else is just going to be compared to it.
I don't think you can really beat passion. And I really feel passion for the PUBG developers. And if they're on top of the ball,
you feel it?
Even, yeah, you do, because they're doing...
Yeah, but it's a trade-off. I mean, I totally agree that passion is great, and people will make amazing, beautiful things out of passion. But if you don't have the manpower, then you get these games that are just stuck in early access forever that have all these bugs that are never addressed. Like, there's something to be said for a big team, like a large-scale developer as well. Like, you get a lot of quality out of that. It's, you know, but then you lose the soul of the game sometimes. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. All right. So, what are you guys going to be playing next week?
I'm getting back into HOTS.
Oh, you know, son of a bitch.
Crazy,
what do you mean?
All about it.
You talk about it every week. How did you? I never saw. When did you, were you out of HOTS?
There was a period. I've been talking about this. The last couple weeks, I've been kind of on a slump with the game.
They keep releasing these new heroes for him to try out.
No, that is definitely not the case. I don't think I said this.
By the way, hold on. Before, let me cut off Bobby. I don't do it very often, but he did the double pointers. Let me.
I've been watching a lot of Seinfeld lately. I'm using my hands when I talk a lot.
Oh my God.
What is the deal? My Seinfeld impression always turns into Howard Cosell, I've found. Oops. Like, it gets way off the rails. But anyway, yeah, I haven't been playing a lot of HOTS lately, and I'm kind of sick of them coming out with like all these new characters and reworks, because every single week we have patch notes and the meta is shifting, and I'm just like, why don't you just give us character swaps in ranked like we've been asking for 2
Sounds
and a half years.
Like you're ready for Dota 2.
Oh, no. Dota 2? Yeah,
kidding.
Right. No, I would much rather them just like chill on the whole like new features thing and just like do some work on like some of the glaring issues that the game has. So, yeah, I'll be doing that. Definitely some Cuphead, and I don't know. That might be it for me. What about you guys?
For me, since I just got into Act 2 for Divinity, so I'm really excited about that. And then also as well, since I'm playing from the couch, Cuphead is going to be the perfect keep my computer plugged into the TV game I can play and pick up and play in between Divinity games.
It's a nice
games.
Counter to Divinity as well.
Absolutely. You know? So perfect. Yeah. It's just what I needed. So yep. Glad we had that up and running for me to demo. And for you, Beef?
I'm going to probably do Cuphead, Divinity 2. If Free Space 2 is on Steam, I may actually go back and just kind of kill
it's
the
not
nostalgia.
Good. Spoilers, it's not good.
What?
The Free Space. There's no way it holds up, dude. There's
yeah,
no
right.
way.
Maybe I'll skip that. So Little Nightmares, Cuphead, and Divinity 2 I'll probably dive into.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
I like what I did this week. I played like 5 games, and I want to do that next week. I don't know what they will be, but I'm going to try to keep it fresh.
Wait a second. I've been seeing that you've been playing Divinity 2 on Steam. Is that wrong?
I think you left it on.
I left it on.
Oh. Yeah. I'm like, is he actually trying to play the story? Is this happening? Did he get
but
reeled
I'm thinking,
in?
What's normal level? They norm
classic.
There's so what's below that?
Explorer. There's mode. Explorer.
I might
classic,
do that with
tactician
Sam.
And then the unrelentless mode. I forgot what it's called, but it's merciless. Really,
you know, I'm going back and forth on Hob. I may grab that. I don't know. I know it's going to take.
I think
more
Hob
to
would be
Cuphead.
A fun game to stream too, Bobby, because it's just. I mean, if it's good old Legend of Zelda, and somebody says it's a mute game, like no one talks or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that might be, or the main hero is mute, just like Link is. So yeah. That's kind of cool.
I meant to bring this up when we talked about Cuphead, but that's the one thing I think that could have made it better. Maybe not, but the dialogue in that game is all written. You talk to somebody, it's text that shows up on a screen. And I don't knock a game for that, but when a game spends the extra time, effort, money to put in voices like that, I think
fuck?
That goes a long way.
You've said the exact opposite about Divinity. It's like, I don't know why they voiced every person in the game.
No, I mean, I think it's great.
Who listens to that? Like, the exact opposite.
No, because
no, please.
That's me. That's me saying, yeah, I'm not going to listen to all that dialogue. I think it's fantastic.
It's like I'm skipping through it all anyways.
There have been games that have done the text dialogue, and I thought they're good. Costume Quest, great game to play with your kids during Halloween. Totally age appropriate and a fun game. They did all text dialogue. Still a great game. Double Fine game.
Can I say one thing that I really appreciate about voiceover dialogue on Divinity? Because since I play it split screen, when somebody is talking to someone and I'm just like organizing my inventory, I don't miss out on any lore.
Oh, the voice comes over?
If I'm listening, yeah. So if I'm, it's coming.
It might be the best way to play Divinity.
So, yeah, because that way I can hear his origin story. I can hear multiple origin stories, my own, and then I'm the person I'm sharing the screen with. And it's like I'm getting more out of one experience, that's for sure.
Hmm. Nice.
And multitasking, sorry.
So playing 5 random games is my answer, I guess. I'm going to put you on the spot. Sign us out there, Admiral Beef.
Speaking for Emilio Chi, Bob. Speaking for Emilio, Bobby Chi, and Admiral Beef. Whiskey Mole? Titties.
Oh, yeah! Titties. Woo! We're all whiskeyed up.
I got a piece so bad.